Corinthians chapter 3. Look, if you would, at verse 1. Paul says, as he's writing this letter to the church of Corinth, the second letter to the church of Corinth, he says, "Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart." Let's pray. Father, we thank you today, Lord, for those who've come this morning, Lord, to hear your word preached. And Lord, we come this morning, Lord, to hear from you. And Lord, I know that you have a message for every person in here this morning, Lord. And Lord, there are some who need encouragement. There are some who need comfort. Lord, there are some who need to get right with you. There may even be some here today, Lord, that need to be saved. Lord, you know the needs of these people. And I pray this morning, Lord, that you'll speak to them based on those needs. And Father, I pray that they'll respond when they hear that still small voice on the inside. Father, help us as Christians, Lord, to grow. Help us to grow closer to you. Help us to want to know more about you every day. And help us get busy in these last days, Lord, doing what you've called us to do, and that is to tell people about Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that you'll just have your will and way during this message, during this service, Lord, as we hear from you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Paul was the writer here of the second letter to the Corinthians, just as he was the writer to the first letter to the Corinthians. We all know Paul wrote a lot of letters and a lot of epistles in the New Testament. In fact, most of the New Testament is written by Paul. And we understand that even though those words that we read are the words that God put in the mouth of Paul. Listen, that Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And a lot of people say, well, the Scriptures are inspired. Yes, they are, but the Bible says that they're given by inspiration of God, which means the Bible says that holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so what you had people that spoke the word. Those were the words of God. And then somebody wrote those words down. That's what's called Scripture. Therefore, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So we know that God's words, these are God's words. Even though Paul is writing them, he's the one who actually penned them. These are God's words. And Paul was the instrument used to write those words. But what is really interesting here is that Paul is writing about writing. He's writing about writing. He's talking here about epistles. And so he's writing the second epistle to the Corinthians, and in this epistle he's talking about people's lives becoming epistles. Now, an epistle is a letter that is written to certain groups of people, and most of the epistles that are written in the New Testament were written to churches. This is an example of an epistle that's written to a church. It was written to the church of Corinth. You had 1 and 2 Corinthians. You had the book of Galatians, the book of Colossians, those types of things, of the book of Philippians. These were epistles written to churches. There were also what's called the, these were written to the churches, were called the prison epistles, because that's where Paul wrote most of those epistles, was from prison. There are also some epistles that were written to groups of people in your New Testament, like, for instance, Hebrews. Hebrews was written to Jews, thus the name Hebrews. Amen. It was written to a group of people. There were also epistles that were written to individuals, like the epistle to Timothy, and the two epistles to Timothy and the epistle to Titus. Those were known as the pastoral epistles. And then, of course, there are what we call the general epistles, and those epistles were named not by who it was written to, but by who the writer was. For example, 1 and 2 Peter, 1, 2, 3 John, Revelation, those things. They were written by the general epistles, apostles. So epistles were letters that were written under the inspiration of God, while the man of God was used to actually pen those words on paper. Now, in our text here, Paul is using the word epistle in a figurative sense. Paul's telling those people here there at Corinth that they were, in a sense, a living epistle, a living letter, a living book, their lives were a message to other people. That's what he's telling them in our opening passage. Paul's not talking about these people actually dipping their pen in ink and actually writing a letter or epistle. He's talking about these people's lives being a walking, breathing letter to other people that could be easily read of all men. So Paul here is teaching that we as Christians, every day that we live, we're living out our story for everybody to read as Christians. Even the book of Psalms tells us the same thing. Here's what it says in Psalm 20, verse 9. It says, "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told." Every one of us, our lives has a story to tell. And everybody, when we look at each other, we're able to read the story that that person's life is telling. A person says, "I'm a Christian." But yet, that person who says he's a Christian goes out here and he's speaking like somebody who's not saved and he's acting like somebody who's not saved. May I tell you, his story is telling a lot. Amen? His story reveals a lot about him. Is he really a Christian? He doesn't act like a Christian. And so we all are a story that is being read by all men. And that means that we all have a responsibility to live right as Christians, and we have a great responsibility to glorify God in our lives as Christians. Now, there are some things that we need to understand, being as how Paul says that we are all an epistle, we are all a story that's told. There are some things that we need to understand, being as how our lives are epistles for all to read. And the first thing that we need to understand is this. We need to understand who it is who writes our epistle. Who it is that writes our epistle? Notice there in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2, it says, ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. And in each one of us, we need to understand that we are the ones who make the decisions in life. We are the ones. Listen, that means this. That means that If you do something that isn't right, you can't blame other people. It's you who made that decision. When you sin, you can't blame somebody else. Now, like we said during Sunday school this morning, it's always been in man's nature to blame somebody else when he messes up. When Adam messed up and he ate the fruit, God came to Adam and said, "Why'd you eat the fruit?" Adam says, "It's because that woman thou hast given me." He goes over to the woman and says, "Why'd you eat the fruit?" And she goes, "Because of the serpent." Everybody wants to point the finger, but listen, at the end of the day, whose decision was it to eat the fruit? Adam and Eve's. Can't get past it. And every time that you sin in this life, you have made a conscious decision to do so. Every decision that you make, it's your decision to do it. If you decide to go out buy a car, that's your decision. If that car happens to be a Ford and it never runs again, well, I guess you made a decision. Amen. I'm just kidding you. I own a Ford. In fact, there's a Ford parked right over here. Runs good. Gets 7 miles to the gallon and gets about 8 miles to the quart of oil. Amen. But anyway, we're the ones who we make the decision. So therefore, we are the ones who write our epistle. Okay. Now, Paul here had witnessed to these people in Corinth. He had discipled these people, and these people were in the church living for God. And because of that, Paul says, "Ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men." And may I tell you this morning that your life is an open book. A letter, an epistle that is being read by your family, by your friends, your neighbors, your fellow church members. You're authoring a story for others to read, and it's a story of your life. And you say, "Well, yes, but I'm a private person." Your actions still tell your story. You may not say a whole lot to anybody, but your actions still tell your story. Now, just as it was when Paul actually penned this epistle to the Corinthians, there are things written about in his epistle that Paul was not responsible for. For example, when you're reading the epistles that Paul wrote, there are things he wrote about that I'm just going to tell you, I'm pretty sure that if Paul were the one, if those were actually Paul's words that he were writing down, and it was Paul who says, "Okay, I'm going to write a story of my life," there would probably be some parts of that story that he would leave out. Listen, if right now, And you say, okay, I write the story of my life right now. Every day I'm writing this story just about the way I live. Listen, if you could actually pin the thing down, isn't there some parts of your story that you would leave out that you wouldn't want other people to read about? I think all of us would. I mean, there's going to be parts of our story that we don't want in there. There are some things that, but listen, there are things that happen in your life that you have no control over that are going to be a part of your story. That's just the way it is. Well, it was the same way with Paul. There were certain circumstances in Paul's life that he had no control over. But yet, we read about those circumstances in those epistles that he wrote. Amen? I'll give you an example. Turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'll show you a couple examples of some things in Paul's life that he had no control over, but yet it's a part of his life anyway. And yet we read about those things in the epistle he wrote to the Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I'll show you something good that happened in his life that he had no control over. So, well, it was kind of good. It was kind of good and bad. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, look if you would at verse 2. Paul says this. He says, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. You say, what in the world is that talking about? Well, Paul here is saying, listen, 14 years ago, he said, there was a man that I knew that was taken up to the third heaven. Now, the only way you can get to the third heaven is you got to die. Amen? That's the only way. Now, he said this. He says, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. Now, that's a great teaching right there because he's looking down and he goes, man, it looks like me. It looks like a body. I can't tell if it's a body or not. You know what that says? Listen, your body, the Bible says flesh and blood doesn't inherit the kingdom. So he's looking at himself and he's looking at his spiritual side and it looks just like his body. That's what it's teaching you, okay? That's getting a little bit deep, but I'll just throw that out there. Verse 3. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. He says it a second time. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Paul, you say, well, who is this person? This person he's describing is himself. Why? Because if you read over there in the book of Acts, you'll find out when Paul went to a city called Lystra, and he started preaching the gospel, people got so mad at him that they picked up stones and started to stone Paul. And then they carried him out of there. That was 14 years before he wrote the book of the epistle of 2 Corinthians. What, you say, Pastor, you mean he actually died? Well, yes. And he went up and he saw paradise and then he come back down and he said he saw unspeakable words which are not lawful for man to utter. You keep on reading about it and he's talking about himself. And I'm going to show you here in a minute. He continues to talk about himself, about some of the things that happened to him. You say, is this teaching that there is such thing as a near-death experience? I don't know about near-death, but I can tell you this. He went there and he came back. He went there and he came back. He had been stoned by the people in the city of Lystra. And then he had been temporarily taken to heaven and he saw things there that he could not utter. Now, that happened, but Paul had no control over that. Paul had no control over it. And yet, the situation is recorded in this epistle. But what Paul did have control over is how he responded to circumstances. And may I tell you this morning that you may not have any control over the things that happen in your life, but you do have control of how you respond to those things. And that's what God's going to hold you responsible for. What Paul did have control over is how he responded to these things and how he responded to the situation and how he responded to this situation and how he responded to other situations. Look if you would at verse 5. Here's how he responded to that. Now, he went to heaven, he come back, he saw paradise, he saw those things. And I will say this, that if you keep on reading the book of Acts after Lystra, you'll notice that Paul changed quite a bit because he got a whole lot more bold. I would too if I just saw heaven. Listen, if I went to heaven and came back, you know what I'd want to do? I want to go back. I'd want to go back to heaven, amen? You notice that Paul ain't scared about anybody killing him. In fact, remember, he was there in jail and they said, well, listen, they started persecuting Paul and they started, disciplining Paul for preaching Christ. And then they said, well, you're a Roman citizen. We're going to let you go. You know what Paul said? He said, no, take me to Nero. I want to go to Rome. What guy would say that? That's a death sentence. Well, yeah, but he had already seen heaven. Amen. And so he went to Rome and many people got saved. But here he goes to heaven. He comes back down. He's alive again, just like Lazarus was. He's alive again, but then look what he says in verse 5. He says, of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me, or that he heareth of me. You know what he could have done? When he come back from heaven, he could have bragged about it. He could have been prideful about it. He could have said, hey, I got to see heaven. You didn't, nanny, nanny, boo, boo. He could have said that, but he didn't. You know what he did? He said, listen, I'm humble. I don't want to lift myself up for the glory. I want God to be lifted up by the glory. That's how he responded to a situation that he had no control over. That's written in his epistle. That's written as a part of his life. All right, I'll give you another example. Here in the same chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, look if you would at verse 7. I'll show you something else. A situation they had no control over, but how did he respond to the situation? Verse 7. 2 Corinthians 12, 7, it says, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. So that means Paul here, he has a physical ailment. Now, we don't know really what this physical ailment was. We have no idea. There are some hints given in the Bible that it might have been having something to do with his eyes, okay? But this is a circumstance that's in his life that he has no control over. He has an ailment that he has no control over. He doesn't want it in his life, but it's there anyway. But how does he respond to it? Look at verse 8. He says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice. He prayed over it, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You know what he could have done? You know how he could have responded to that thing, that situation in his life that he had no control over that was bad? He could have complained about it. He could have whined to other people about it. He could have blamed God for it, but he didn't. You know how he responded to it? He prayed. He asked the Lord to remove it three times. The Lord says, nope, I'm not. My grace is sufficient for thee. And he says, you know what? If the Lord's not going to remove it, then it's for the glory of God. Hallelujah. That's how he responded to it. May I tell you something, folks? Listen, there are going to be situations in your life that are going to happen. And some of these situations are not good. And you're not going to have any control over the situation. Bad things sometimes just happen. Amen? I mean, sometimes it just happens that way. It's how you respond to it that's important. Because people are going to read that too. People are going to read in your story that bad things have happened in your life. But then they're also reading, how did you respond to it? Paul here, his life shows that he responded well. He gave God the glory. And so bad things are going to happen in your life. And when those bad things happen in your life, your story could end up a story of bitterness. It could end up a story of pride, but it could also end up being a story of faith, or a story of peace, or a story of thankfulness. It's your choice. It's your choice how your epistle gets written. So Paul had circumstances in his story that he had no control over, and he responded well. Something else, Paul also had people in his story that he had no control over. People who just came into his life, and sometimes the people that came into Paul's life were not the best people. Okay, now there were good people in Paul's life, and then there were people like Barnabas and Silas and Luke and people like that, good people. But there were also some not so good people that were in his life, people who caused Paul great trouble. People like Demetrius the silversmith, who got the people in Ephesus in an uproar because Paul was preaching against the false goddess Diana. Or people like Alexander the coppersmith, who Paul said did him much evil. or those Jews in Thessalonica. Paul went over and he preached to the Jews in Thessalonica. They got mad. They went after him. They lowered him over a wall. Paul takes off. He goes to Berea and starts preaching over here. You know what those Jews in Thessalonica did? They followed him. They went from Thessalonica to Berea to give him even more hard time. They didn't even stay back where they were. They followed him to the place he went. Don't you know that there were some people in Paul's life, he said, listen, I really wish those people were not part of my story, but they were. And listen, may I tell you this morning, there are going to be people that come into your life that are not going to be that great of people. How many of you have somebody in your life today that you could say, you know what, if I could just write my own story, they probably wouldn't be there. There are just some people like that. Now, that doesn't mean you mistreat them. That doesn't mean you don't witness to them. It doesn't mean those things. It doesn't mean you don't love them. But there are just some people that come in our lives that just drive us crazy. Amen? I mean, there are some people that just that it just seems like it's their place in life just to drive you nuts. And that's just that. But listen, that happens to all of us. All of us have people like that in our lives. But Paul was responsible of how he treated those people. The same way he was responsible for how he responded to unwanted circumstances. And may I ask you this morning that when it comes to how you treat other people, listen, that's included in your epistle now. That's included in your story. And when people read your story, do they see an epistle of kindness? Do they see hatefulness in your story? When people read your life as a Christian, do they see someone who cares about others and witnesses to others and helps out others? Or do they see somebody who's bitter towards others? You're writing your own epistle. And when you're writing your own epistle, there are things that are in your story that you have no control over, but you do have control of how you respond to it. And people are reading your epistle all the time. Paul said, "Ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men." You can't always control who's in that epistle. There are going to be people in your lives. They may be family members. They may be friends. They may be members of the church. Maybe children in your life. Those people are the good pages in your life. But there are also people who rub us the wrong way. There are people who get underneath our skin. There are people who seem to make it their goal in life to make us miserable. Those people are in our lives as well. Those people are in our epistle, whether we like it or not. They're just there. But it's us who gets to decide how we treat those people. It's us who gets to decide how many pages that they're going to take up in our story. It's us who gets to decide how big of a character those people are going to be in our epistle. Sometimes we allow ourselves to get so focused on the people who've done us wrong in life that that's all we ever think about. We become so bitter that because this person did this to me that we don't want to, we think about that person all the time. If somebody has done you wrong, you're sitting there thinking, boy, I'm going to get that person back. Every opportunity to try to get even with that person, that's what we think about all the time. While that person over there don't even realize he's even done us wrong half the time. May I tell you, listen, people are going to do you wrong, but it's up to you how many pages in your story you're going to give them. Are you going to let the wrong that a person's done to you dominate your story, dominate your epistle for all people to read? Or are you going to give them grace? You say, what do I do, Pastor? When somebody has made me miserable, when somebody has done me wrong, and somebody has done these things to me, what am I supposed to do? Give them the page in your story and then move on. Just move on. Don't let them dominate your story. Now, so we've got to make sure that we understand we're the ones who write our epistle. Second thing we need to understand is this, is we need to understand who it is that actually reads our epistle. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2, it tells us who's reading our story. It says, Paul says, "Ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men." Known and read of all men. Now, every person on this earth is either saved or lost. And Paul's saying to us here that every person we come in contact with is reading our story in one way or the other. The lost people in this town are reading your epistle today. And when they read you, they're reading to see if you're really a Christian. They're reading to see if you really are genuine. They're reading to see if you really are different than this world in the way that you talk, the way that you act, the way that you treat people. And we can write our stories in such a way that it reaches the person who's looking for hope. That's the reason the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, it says, "And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you for you a reason of the hope that's in you." Somebody is reading your story and they see that the hope's in you, and they come up to you and say, "Hey, how do you have a hope like that? How come when something goes wrong, you're the one sitting there smiling saying it'll be okay? How come when somebody says, somebody in your life gets sick and you start to pray and you say, I'm just going to trust God for it? How do you have that kind of hope?" Listen, somebody's been reading your story. And it says we need to give an answer when somebody comes up and says, and wants to know the reason of the hope that's in us. You know what that means? That means if you're living according to the faith that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to show other people by the way you act and the way you talk and the way you react to things that you have faith in Jesus Christ, and God is big. God can answer all of our prayers, and God, there's nothing that's impossible for God. And when people see that kind of hope in you, they're going to ask you for the reason of it, and that's your opportunity to witness to them. That's the reason Christians should be walking around happy, with happy faces, unlike a lot of people in here this morning. Christians, listen, folks, we have hope. But we shouldn't be walking around like we have no hope. We shouldn't. Why? Is there anything too big for God? If you're saved this morning, are you going to heaven? Then how bad could it get? I mean, honestly, how bad could it get? If you're going to heaven, I hope everybody's going to heaven this morning. But our story is being read, and we can write our stories in such a way where those people who are wanting something different than what this world has to offer can find us and see in us the joy and the peace that comes from being a child of God. The lost people of this world are reading us all the time, but that's not all. The saved people are also reading your epistle this morning. There are young saved people watching you and reading your epistle. There are old saved people watching you and reading your epistle. There are saved people who are going through some of the things that you went through, and they have read your epistle, they have read your story, and they see how you handled those situations. 2 Corinthians 1:3 and 4 says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all of our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith ourselves are comforted of God." May I tell you that, listen, if you've gone through something, God has allowed you to go through certain things so that way when somebody else goes through the same thing, they saw how you reacted, they saw how you prayed, they saw the faith that you had, and therefore it helps them out. That's the reason it's important of how you respond to the situations in your life. You're being read all the time. You're being watched all the time. We have to understand that we're the one writing our epistle. We also have to understand who's actually reading our epistle. And then the third thing that we must understand is who our epistle is supposed to be about. Who our epistle is supposed to be about. May I ask you this morning, when somebody reads your book, when somebody reads your epistle, when somebody looks at your life, who is it that they see? Who is it that's mentioned the most? Who is it that's made the most of? You know, one would think that being as how we write our own epistle in our lives and we're the ones that decide, you know, on what we're going to do in life, you'd think that our story that's written would be, the main character would be about us, ourselves. And that's true when it comes to unsaved people. But as Christians, the main character of our epistle should always be the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what our story should be about. In all the epistles that Paul wrote in the New Testament, do you know who the main character was in every one of those epistles? Do you know who it was that he talked about more than anybody else in all those epistles? By far, you know who it was? The Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, you'll notice in every letter that Paul wrote, he began by giving glory to Jesus Christ and God the Father. You know how he ended it? By giving glory to Jesus Christ and God the Father. In every one of his epistles. You know what you find during it? He talks about the grace of the Lord. He talks about the mercy of the Lord. He talks about the love of the Lord. Listen, when you read the letters that Paul wrote in this Bible, you know what you see? You get to see a picture of Jesus Christ. You get to see who Jesus Christ is. how he did things, the mercy and grace of God, how he come and paid for all of our sins by dying on the cross. You read about all of it in his epistle that he wrote. Let me ask you this morning, if somebody reads your life this morning, if somebody watches you live and they read your epistle, who are they going to read about? Sadly, when it comes to a lot of Christians today, the one they're going to read about is us. But I'm just going to tell you something. If your epistle is all about you, your epistle isn't worth reading. Why? Because your epistle is no different than everybody else's epistle. Your life is no different than an unsaved person's life. If it's all about you, as a Christian, can we tell you what people should see when they look at you? They should see Jesus Christ. When they read your story, everything about your story should glorify the Lord. How you act, how you talk, the things you talk about, the things that mean the most to you, how you treat people. They should read your story and say, you know, there's something different about his story than the rest of the world. His story seems to always be focused on one person, Jesus Christ. That's who our story is supposed to be about. That's what our epistle is supposed to be about. It's supposed to be about Jesus Christ. Is your story about Jesus Christ? Do people see hope in you? Do they see salvation? Listen, if my story is only about Bob Crowder, listen, Bob Crowder ain't going to be able to help you in anything. I'm just going to tell you right now, there is nothing I can help you with in life, but I can show you one who can help you. I can tell you what he has to say about it. Listen, when people lose loved ones, I can't comfort you, but God can comfort you because he's the God of all comfort. When a person comes to me and says, I don't know how to get to heaven. I can't get to heaven. Bob Crowder can't get you to heaven. But I know the one who can get you to heaven, Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You see, if the story is only about me, that story ain't helping out anybody. But if that story is about Jesus Christ, it's a story worth reading. Psalm chapter 40, verse 7 said, Then said I, Lo, I come, and the volume of this book is written of me. That's what Jesus said. The whole Bible is written about him. When people read your epistle, when they look at your life that you're living, do they see Jesus Christ on every page? Here's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3:3. He says, For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. My story cannot be about me. It must be about Jesus Christ. He's the life changer. He's the one who makes a difference. If he's not the main character in my story, and if it isn't all about him, then my epistle isn't going to be worth reading. Because without Jesus Christ in our lives, without Jesus Christ being the focus of our lives, we'll all be nothing but bitter, disillusioned, unhappy, cynical, unloving people. Our life should be all about Jesus Christ. When someone pulls out in front of you and slows down on 10th Avenue South, they're going to be reading your book. Somebody's going to be reading your epistle. What are they going to see? Are they going to see Jesus Christ? I'm just going to tell you, sometimes when they're watching me, when somebody pulls out in front of me, they don't see Jesus Christ. But they should. When you go to McDonald's and they short you a hamburger, didn't that just irk you? Because you never find out about it till you get home. And then you know when you go back over there, they're going to claim that you ate the thing. So you're just out of a hamburger. Listen, when that happens, what are they going to be reading in your epistle? Are they going to see a story of bitterness and anger over a hamburger? You know what they should see? Grace and mercy of the Lord. You know what they should see? A person says, you know what? The Lord had a reason for me not to eat that hamburger. Probably it's poison anyway. Probably would have made me sick. Amen. Every person you face, everywhere you go, every situation you find yourself in, people should be able to see that Jesus Christ is the main person of your life. You're writing your own story every minute of the day, and people everywhere are reading it. They're reading you. What are they reading? Are they reading a story this morning of bitterness and unforgiveness? Or are they reading a story of mercy, grace and love? Are they reading about you? Or are they reading about Jesus Christ? We are all an epistle. We all are going to have things in that epistle in our lives that we sometimes wish that weren't there. There are going to be situations in your life that you're going to wish that really weren't there. There are going to be people in your life that sometimes you're just like, you know what, my life would be better if I'm not hanging around that person. But may I tell you that how you respond to it speaks volumes about your life. And how you respond to it is going to go a whole lot longer. Go a whole lot longer. When somebody reads that, it's going to have more of an impact than you could ever imagine. Because if your book is written like everybody else's book in this world, that book is going to be a horrible book to read. A horrible book to read. No mercy, no grace. It's all about me. It's not about other people. It's not about me helping other people. And it ain't about Jesus Christ. Do you realize that's almost everybody in the world has a book written like that. But as Christians, we're supposed to be different. So I'm just going to ask you this morning. You're the one who's writing it. It's your epistle. What are people reading when they read it? Who are they reading about when they read it? What kind of epistle is it? Let's stand.